Orange got off to a surprisingly sluggish start to the season and a sloppy 27-14 win over Person in Week 1. But a new week brings another opportunity to make a statement. And with star running back Tay Jones back in action, Orange should be locked and loaded tonight.
Northwood, meanwhile, got off to a strong start in a romp of East Chapel Hill. We'll talk about what's up next for Coach Bill Hall's Chargers.
97.9 FM, WCHL Championship Sports, presents The Grid. WCHL's exclusive high school football pregame show. Join WCHL as we preview all the area games and the storylines you care about. All season long, The Grid is your home for all your area schools, including the Carrboro Jaguars, the East Chapel Hill Wildcats, the Chapel Hill Tigers, and all the surrounding area schools from Orange and Chatham counties. The Grid, WCHL's exclusive high school football pregame show, starts now.
Last week in our Chapelboro.com game of the week, we picked a dandy with Carrboro holding off Cedar Ridge 39-38. Trey Sharp piled up 331 yards rushing and four touchdowns for the victors, while quarterback Peyton Pappas rushed for three touchdowns and passed for two more in a losing effort for the Red Wolves.
Northwood, meanwhile, crushed East Chapel Hill 65-0 behind four touchdown runs by Kadarius Roan, which ruined Mike Holderman's debut for the Wildcats. Sharp or Roan for Grid Grade of the Week? Stay tuned and we'll reveal it later in the show.
Not surprisingly, Orange opened with a comfortable 27-14 win over Person. With his academic issues settled, Panthers star back Tay Jones returns to the lineup this week. The Crush still racked up three rushing scores, however, without him in the opener.
And we both picked this one wrong, Matt, as Chapel Hill pasted Riverside 45-21. Tigers rolled up a 31-7 lead at the break, sparked by Andrew Gillespie's 90-yard interception return for a touchdown and Lonnie Baldwin's 3-yard scoring dash.
And now we talk to Orange head coach Pat Moser. So, Coach, last week you got a solid win over Person. What are your final reactions and takeaways from that win last Friday night?
Well, I don't know where to start, really. We were rusty. That's an understatement. We've got to get better, and we got to get better quick. It was seemingly one error after another. You know, we would have a hole. The offensive line would do a great job, and we would have a hole, and then we would have a back make the long cut. Or we had a back, you know, do the right thing, and then we had a missed block. And same with our passing game. You know, one play we would do good and give our quarterback time to throw, and the next time he was flushed out, you know, too quick. Some of the times when he was flushed out, we had open receivers. If he had had another second, you know, we would have had some good things happen. It was just not – we were just not in sync, I guess, is the way to say it. Now, some of that, you know, has to be given – credit to Person County. I thought that Coach Klein had his boys ready to play. They were in shape. They did not get tired, seemingly, as the game wore down and wore on. So, you know, of course, my hat's off to how good that they played. But, you know, we've got a conference that is maybe the best in the state. We got to get ready. We got to get ready with urgency, and so that's why we're having a hard week of practice, and we're trying to straighten out some things that'll make us become a better football team.
Coach, would you attribute that sloppiness to more of first game jitters, or would you diagnose it as more of a concerning problem going forward?
Well, I don't think it's a problem. I think our team was real flat when we got the Person. No enthusiasm, no rah rah. Everybody was quiet, and I thought, you know, to myself, what's going on here, you know? But it took us a quarter to wake up, and actually Person scored first. And we were just kind of, as a team, cruising along, and then Person struck with a long touchdown pass. And at that point, I think our team kind of woke up and realized, you know, you don't just show up and win football games. You've actually got to play the game. We did come back in the second quarter. We scored twice, and we scored two more times in the third quarter, and we had a comfortable lead at that point. Then in the fourth quarter, we started playing second and third team guys. So I think when we woke up, we played really well, but that, you know, that's scary. You don't want to have to do that every week.
Coach, were there any leaders in particular you could point to that really rallied the guys in that moment when you guys fell behind?
Well, I thought Garrett Cole did a good job, the quarterback. He made a couple of nice runs and some good throws, obviously. Mark Holt, I think, is becoming one of our team leaders. He is a defensive end and plays fullback, and he's just a hard-nosed kid. And I think the way he runs the ball and the way he plays on defense kind of inspires the other guys. So, I mean, that's a couple of kids that stand out. I thought Michael Bolden ran the ball well and kind of sparked us in the second quarter. So, you know, we've still got some kids that get after it and play hard. Those are three examples. So, you know, I think we're going to be okay. We've got to take things serious from the beginning.
Coach, looking ahead to Friday night, what will be some of the keys to your matchup with Northern Durham this week?
Well, I think on film, Northern Durham looks very athletic and big. They have some good size. They have a young quarterback, but he's dangerous. He's a very good kid, you know. And if a couple of things had gone their way, they would have been in that game last week. They had a couple of touchdowns called back that hurt them. They had some interceptions that hurt them. You know, and they're going to be doing the same thing we're doing. Their coaches are going to be looking at maybe personnel, and they're going to be looking at correcting problems, and they'll be better this week than they were last week. I think keys to the game maybe for us is going to be our running game. Can we get it going or not? You know, we have to be able to run the football to open up our passing. And defensively, I think our defense played well last week. We gave up a couple of big plays that we hopefully won't do this week. But Golden can run. They can throw. So if you can throw the ball deep, you know, anything can happen. So we have to be ready. We have to be ready for that. And I think, especially going over to Northern to play there, we're gonna have to play our A game. And that's what we're preaching right now to our kids.
Coach, I know it's early in the season, but do you scoreboard watch at all? And do you guys talk about your competition in conference and how they do as the season progresses?
I'm afraid we do. We're always looking to see how the people around us are doing. It was pretty impressive last week. Southern Durham blew out a team from Maryland. Northwood blew out East Chapel Hill. Cardinal Givens lost by one to a 4A power. So, you know, yeah, we look around and we see what's happening in our conference and, you know, kind of what I figured is going to be tough again this year.
Up next, we'll chat with Northwood coach Bill Hall and Chapel Hill's Isaac Marsh.
Here's our interview with Northwood coach Bill Hall.
Coach, big opening season win over East Chapel Hill. Everything go as expected in that game?
Well, I don't think anybody expected it to end up like it did. You know, against a 4A team, it just turned out that way. And, you know, we got out of there injury-free and with a big win, so we'll take it.
Any disappointments, like maybe only being able to pass four times because you don't want to run it up?
Well, the kids took it well. I mean, you know, obviously we'd like to throw the ball a little more to show our playmakers off a little more and get them some touches, but everybody realized what was going on, so we just, you know, took care of business and got out of there.
And they may be good about their stats, but Ty did have some huge numbers last season, so I'm sure he would have liked that passed more, huh?
Yeah, he was very, I mean, understanding. I mean, he came off the field after one of the touchdowns. He said, man, I've handed it off five times tonight for touchdowns. So he was very understanding, and he knows the big picture.
And if it works, you're not going to go away from it either.
Right.
Any injury updates from that game? You said you were injury-free.
We're injury-free that night. We did lose Jarman, our offensive tackle, during Thursday's practice, but he's expected to go this week. And as far as everybody else that didn't play last week, they're out again this week as well.
You're on the road a second straight week. This week, Southern Lee. Can you try to turn that into an advantage in a way, a bonding and all that kind of stuff? Or?
Well, I mean, you know, we try to make a tough preseason schedule or non-conference schedule, and Southern Lee's very athletic. They cause a lot of different problems that we didn't see against East Chapel Hill. Very mobile, double-threat quarterback, very stingy defense, gave up 6 points last week. So, you know, we came in yesterday for Monday's practice and got to work, and the kids are ready and responded well. So we'll see how the rest of the week goes.
Anything else impress you about Southern Lee heading into your week 2 contest?
like I said, they're extremely athletic and pretty good size line on the D-line. So we're going to have to, you know, make adjustments to that and see if we can block these big boys.
And what do you like about your team? It's hard to say on such a big blowout like that, but what are some of the things you're pleased about so far?
Well, I'm extremely pleased with Montel Goods. Extremely pleased with Kadarius Rome the other night. I mean,
4 touchdowns.
Yes, you know, and Montel 5 carries, 109 yards. So, you know, we'll take that. We do want to get our passing game intact this week, throw it a little bit more, get those weapons we've got on the outside, some touches, and see what happens. And I do want our secondary to get some work. They didn't get any work last week, and that was one of the big question marks coming in. So we'll see how they respond this Friday night.
Well, maybe that's what you want, a week one where you play really, really well. Maybe week two will be a little bit tougher. And as the season goes on, you establish the important parts of your game, huh?
Well, I mean, once the conference rolls around, they're going to all be tough for the most part. So, you know, we're looking for a test this Friday night, and we'll see how it goes. It's a tough place to play. Hadn't had much luck down in Sanford before, so we'll see how this one turns out.
Maybe in your final year, huh?
We'll see how it turns out.
It's time for our interview with Chapel Hill's Isaac Marsh.
So, Coach, it was a solid win last week for the Tigers. What are your final reactions and takeaways from that week one?
My final reaction, you know, it's always good to get the first one. I definitely like how our team responded. It was a little warmer than we have been accustomed to because we, throughout all of the beginning part of August for our practices, we practiced in the morning, so we pretty much dodged the heat of the afternoon evening. So I was very positive and thankful how our team responded to the high humidity on Friday. Some of the things that I see that we need to work on, we're still not executing our plays at best. We had a couple of missed assignments offensively and defensively that I think that we're working on to fix for this upcoming week, along with our special team. I wasn't too keen with our couple of our special teams, the kickoff team as well as the punt team from Friday night.
Coach, last season you guys were nipped at the buzzer, really, a goal line stand against Riverside. What was the difference? Does it show how much your team has grown in a year's time to really kind of get some revenge last Friday?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And that's what, you know, throughout the whole entire spring practice and off-season summer workouts, our guys constantly were reminded of the fact that, guys, we finished the season 4-8. You know, people can say we're probably one of the best 4-8 teams in the state, but when you actually look at it, that 4-8 is 4-8. And if you guys want to be perceived better than that, then we have to go out and we have to execute and play better. The game that we lost by a small margin, we can't have those letdown for this upcoming season, and that was the premise of Friday night. The guys, they wanted to come out and just play.
Coach, do you scoreboard watch at all? Do the guys look around at the other teams in your conference to see how they're doing?
Honestly, no. Our motto and mindset: one day, one game, one play at a time. So we're focused on, and I think one of our coaches said it best. We're going to enjoy Friday night's win, and around 12 o'clock on the start of a new day, pretty much that win is behind us, and let's focus our attention to South Granville.
This week in practice, where are you really looking for the most improvement to get ready for South Granville?
Pretty much special team play. Like I said, kickoff is not something positive when our kicker has to make the tackles, and he saved two that could have eventually was touchdown runs. So he had two big tackles on our kickoff team, and then just punt. We lined up one time and we didn't have 7 men on the line. So we're trying to iron those things out now this week in practice, and just, you know, just the up tempo of going no huddle offensively. We want to improve upon our condition and making sure our guys are on one accord if I know how to lock it.
Coach, having Logan Tisch on the line, just anchoring that unit, how big of an impact does he make?
Well, Logan has made an impact with our program since day one, since he came in as a freshman. And now, looking at his senior year and everything that he has worked hard to accomplish, he is one of the coaches that's out there on the field for us, offensive line-wise. He's utilizing everything that our offensive line coach Taylor has taught him over the course of the 4 years, and now he's working with our younger linemen in practice and during the game so they can better understand our scheme and knowing what to do and just being that guiding force for them when things get tough.
Another impact performer for you guys, Noah Layden. What does he bring to you guys out on the field?
Noah, very diverse with his knowledge of football. He's primarily our defensive end. And he, you know, defensively, he is one of those players that has a motor that he needs to be on the field. When opposing teams drop back to pass, they have to take into consideration where did he line up. He has a strong pass rush, and just his desire, you know, to make the people around him better is what has catapulted him into, you know, being a leader for this upcoming year.
Now in week two, you guys finally get a home game. South Granville comes to town. What have you seen out of them, and what threats could they pose to your squad?
South Granville, they're physical. Anytime when you have a team that is physical, day play during the course of the game, that physicality will wear a team down. So we're talking to the players about, you know, just making sure, you know, don't take unnecessary hits. Just make sure you protect yourself out there on the field, and their physicality that they bring in. Coach has them, they're running, it's not a wing tee offense, but it's a flex bone offense, similar to the wing Riverside ran a year ago. And that's one of our Achilles heels. Anytime we have a team that has almost like that wing format, we have not fared too well against. So we're just trying to dissect their offense and making sure that our players understand their assignments this week.
Up next, we'll chat with Carrboro skipper Melvin Griffin.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
Here's our conversation with Carrboro coach Melvin Griffin.
Well, first of all, Coach, what an exciting, thrilling win last Friday night. Really just an unbelievable contest. Trey Sharp went off for 420 yards and four touchdowns. Obviously, that's the story of the night, but what were your final reactions and takeaways from the win?
My final reactions is we were able to regroup at halftime. We had a scoreless third quarter, and we won the fourth quarter. I think the first half was definitely a shootout. We was on the bottom end of the shootout. We made some mistakes defensively, and then we was able to tighten things up at halftime. And the kids really worked well coming back, staying focused in the second half.
Coach, do you think your team going forward is going to be comfortable in that shootout-type atmosphere, or would you really like to see your defense buckle down a little bit?
Oh, most definitely I like the defense buckle down. We do have some weapons on the offensive side of the ball with Jackson Overbeck, Austin Martin, and Grayson McGee to complement Trey Sharp. But we definitely don't want to be in any more shootouts like that the rest of the year. We definitely got to improve on the defensive side of the ball.
Coach, what did you like out of your quarterback in that contest?
The main thing, they both took care of the ball. We had some fumbles on the center snap exchange, but they made a decision. They didn't try to force anything. If they didn't see anything they didn't like, they scrambled and ran out of bounds. They really didn't force anything. The main thing is that I'm cutting down on the turnovers, but they have a lot of work to do also. We missed a couple of reads, but they didn't have any turnovers in the passing game, and I think the turnovers in the run game with the center's exchange was just being too quick and thinking too much.
Coach, this week in practice, are there any particular areas you're really stressing with the guys to improve for this week?
First of all, we're still working on our special teams. We did give up too many yards on the kickoff return situation. Defensively, we're trying to get in our spaces better so we can gang tackle, so it won't be a situation where we have the one-on-one tackles that we did miss. We also need to get off the field. Cedar Ridge completed a lot of third and eight and greater. Particularly, they had a couple of third and 12s, 13s, and 14s that they completed. And then also on the offensive side of the ball, we want to eliminate the five-yard penalties, the false starts. We also need to improve on inside the red zone. We were two out of four inside the red zone.
Coach, it's going to be really hot out there this week during practice, back in the 90s pretty much all week. Do you feel like your team's fit enough to handle that heading into Friday night?
Yeah, I believe so. Our kids, we condition well. We've been working in the heat since June. I think having the advantage now that school's back in session, practicing at 4:15 in relationship to 6 o'clock has helped a lot. But I think our athletes are conditioned for the heat. We do have only about 30 athletes, and we do have a lot of kids participating both ways in special teams, but we didn't have any people cramp up on Friday night, and I think that's dealing with the condition we did all summer.
Is there anyone in particular that maybe you were unsure of going into last week's contest that really stood out and impressed you the most?
On the offensive side of the ball, we had Jordan Rigsby at offensive tackle. He played a couple of plays last year as a true freshman when we had a lot of injuries. He did a good job. Also on the offensive line, we had Matt Junker. Matt Junker he missed a lot of time last year due to an ankle injury. On the defense side of the ball, we had Caleb Coulart, outside linebacker. He was new to his position. And also, finally, on the defense side of the ball, Nate Okwa. He was a freshman linebacker that we moved down to DN.
Coach, this week you've got East Chapel Hill. What will be some of the keys to that matchup? I know Northwood really put a beat down on East last week, but it's a new week. What are you stressing to your guys heading into that matchup?
We're trying to really emphasize the stuff that we saw against Cedar Ridge that we need to really improve on. Like I mentioned earlier, on the offensive side of the ball, finishing, improving in the red zone. Besides being 2 out of 4 in the red zone, we were 0-for-2 on fourth down inside the red zone. On the defense side of the ball, we want to get off the field, make sure we don't let them complete the third and longs or third and mediums. And then on special teams, we always want to improve. We want to really work on our kickoff team. We gave up too many yards on the kickoff.
Coming up, we'll do our previews and picks of this week's action. We'll also count down our WCHL Super 6 and pick our grid grade of the week.
Matt, let's take a look at tonight's action. First up, we've got Northwood traveling out to Southern Lee. For the second straight week, the Chargers hit the road, but this contest should be a little closer than the route of East Chapel Hill. Expect the Chargers offense to open things up more than last Friday when Ty Penix attempted just 4 passes. Southern Lee is coming off a 21-6 win over Western Harnett. Quarterback Ishoyce Times had 92 yards through the air and gained 52 on the ground, but he did have a pair of fumbles. Matt, I'm going with the Chargers again this week. What about you?
I agree. Northwood should be 2-0 after this one. In our ChapelBorough.com game of the week, Orange also travels for a second straight week, heading to Northern Durham, which is coming off a 30-0 setback to Southeast Guilford. Orange is already very good with its defense and passing game, and with back Tay Jones back in the fold, this one could get ugly quick. I'm picking Orange. Matt, what do you say?
Matt, I agree. I'm going with the Crush. In our WCHL game and our lone Chapelborough Cup contest, rejuvenated Carrboro travels to East Chapel Hill. The Jags look to move to 2-0 after that thrilling win over Cedar Ridge. East Chapel Hill just looks to compete after getting thumped by Northwood in their opener. With a healthy Trey Sharp for the Jags and a small, inexperienced team for the Wildcats, this one may be a mismatch, Matt. I have to go with the Jaguars.
I have to agree. Now for our Week 2 ChapelBorough.com Super 6 at number 6, East Chapel Hill.
At number 5, we have Cedar Ridge.
At number 4, Chapel Hill.
And at number 3, those Jaguars of Carrboro.
At number 2, the Northwood Chargers.
And at number 1,
I've got my orange crush.
Follow me, don't color me.
Yes, the Orange Panthers top our Super 6 for the second week in a row.
Now for our grid grade of the week, we selected Carver's Trey Sharp. The Jaguars needed every one of his four touchdown runs and 320 yards in a week one win over Cedar Ridge. Sharp is back, and so it appears are the Jaguars. Congratulations, Trey Sharp, our first WCHL ChapelBarrow.com grid grade of the week for the 2014 season.
Up next, right here on WCHL, we'll take you out to East Chapel Hill as the Jaguars of Carrboro come to town. We'll see you next week on The Grid with Matt and Matt.